Sheffield Live, made in Sheffield, made by you.
Do you like Sheffield Live? Why not become a friend of Sheffield Live? Sheffield Live is a community radio station, and friends of Sheffield Live are people in the community who make a regular donation to keep Sheffield Live on the air. Join the Friends of Sheffield Live by writing to friends@sheffieldlive.org or go online to sheffieldlive.org/friends.
Hello, good evening. Here we are again. It's another Wednesday night live in Sheffield in the Sheffield Live studios, and it's Deserted Island Disc. So this is the programme where usually what we've been doing for the last year or so is having people who are born in the island of Ireland and have deserted that island and chosen to live in South Yorkshire. And we've had lots and lots of lovely people telling their stories. And I've pretty much officially run out of Irish people to interview on the show. We do have a few lined up in the next few weeks, but if there are any Irish people, or we're on to second generation Irish people that want to come on the show and talk about their life and their journey, and the bridge between Ireland and Sheffield and South Yorkshire, then please get in touch. So we've got an email, Deserted Island Dis. So it's Deserted Island, as in the island of Ireland. DesertedIslandDis@gmail.com. So please get in touch if you know anyone or you want to be on the show yourself. But the misfortune of that means we've got the fortunate thing of spreading our wings and moving to further afield. So we've got a guest tonight from Scotland. It's John Johnson. Hello, John. How are you doing?
Hello there. Nice to see you again, Ben.
Nice to see you. Thanks for agreeing to come on the show.
It's all right. You're quite privileged, actually. Yeah.
No, it's great. So I've probably known you at least 10 years, isn't it?
Oh,
Maybe longer. Lovely fella that we see quite often. So I'm really pleased to get to know you a bit better in the next hour. So we've got an hour to talk about your life, and you've chosen some good songs for us to listen to as well that have kind of punctuated your life and mean a lot to you. So we'll get through it. But anyway, how are you feeling today?
I'm okay, yeah, thank you. Yeah, pretty good. And still enjoying the retirement.
Yeah, well, that's good, isn't it? How long have you been retired?
I'll be 7 years. End of March, it'll be 7 years.
That's it. Well, very good. So let's start at the beginning then. So where were you born? What year?
I was born in a wee town called Falkirk in Stirlingshire.
Yeah.
Which is now Central Belt. But 7th of December, 1953, which wasn't yesterday, was it? But,
no. So let me do the maths then. So you will be 73 in December, yeah. So Falkirk, is it? What's the nearest big place? Is it where people know?
The nearest big place to Falkirk is Falkirk.
Yeah, so Falkirk's big. Oh, sorry.
Stirling. It's in between Glasgow and Edinburgh. They're 25 miles equidistant.
Okay, yes, you're there. Yeah.
You go up the River Forth, get to Grangemouth, turn left, and you'll get into Falkirk.
Yeah. Well, You've chosen one of your songs you've chosen, and I've not heard before, and I love it already. So I was listening to it last night and stuff. So it's the Roving Falkirk Bairn, yeah.
Falkirk Bairns, it's what you call people from Falkirk, yeah. The Bairns, like the football team are the Bairns. Yeah. And it came because I think maybe 1800s they put a well, with fresh drinking water in the town.
Yeah.
And the bloke who opened it said for the citizens and the bairns of Falkirk.
Yeah. So is that like, so the bairn means a child, does it?
So we've always been bairns in Falkirk.
So what was it like going up there? What kind of house did you live in? What are your parents doing?
Well, in the days of social housing.
Right.
But when I was born, we moved to a tenement.
Yeah.
In a village called the Redding, where I was brought up. It was a pit village.
Okay.
But we lived, so when I was born, there'd been my mother and father, my older brother, my older sister.
Yeah.
So we were only there about 4 years, 4 months actually. And then we got moved to social housing in a village just along the road.
Yeah.
Called St. Margaret's, which was an old Polish army camp during the war.
Okay.
And they built on that, so...
Yeah.
So we're quite fortunate because we had
A good council house.
Yeah.
Bedroom each.
Yes. Yeah, well, not. I shared with my brother.
Shared your brother, yes.
That was good because, you know, we had hot and cold running water and inside toilet and things like that, you know.
So how old were you when you moved there, do you think?
Pardon?
How old were you moved?
I was 19. I came in 1970.
To the council house, sorry.
Oh, I was 4 months old.
4 months old, so yeah, it's what you know. Old, yeah, right?
And I was there until I was 9 years old.
Okay. And what happened at 9? Where did you go then?
My father got killed.
Oh, right. Oh, sorry.
He died in a road traffic accident in that winter of 63.
Right.
Some people around here might remember it, but it was cold from like Christmas right in 62 right through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but why did you have to move house? Was it you moved to...
Well, my mother then had to work.
Yeah.
And the house came vacant. We had a good friend of the family who was a councillor.
Yeah.
And managed to get us a house, which was in between where my both sets of grandparents lived.
Yeah, so she got more support from the grandparents to help you. Yeah. So that was good, isn't it? So then your grandparents were involved a lot in your upbringing as well.
I was quite close to my maternal grandfather.
So would what did your mum and dad do?
My dad was a welder.
Right.
Yeah. That's how I became a welder, because I wanted to be like my dad.
Well, come on to that. I see you singing in the Grapes pub quite often, but we never really talk about what you did for a living or anything, do we?
No, that's the thing. Well, my dad worked as a welder. He went to Kuwait and helped weld the oil fields and pipelines in Kuwait.
All right.
Then
so
came
was
back.
That what, in then, a, what decade was that?
That'd have been 50s.
50s, wow.
Then late 40s, 50s.
Wow.
And then he worked away a lot. Port Talbot, he worked in Port Talbot. And quite interestingly, the welders out there will know, because up to then they were using DC generators from direct current. And then when they were at Port Talbot, they were able to use AC, which gives you a better weld. So that was interesting. But the irony was, he came back, got a job in Grangemouth at BXL, which was Big Light Xylonite Limited, and it was on his way to work there that he had an accident and got brain injury and eventually died 4 days after. So.
Yeah. And how what do you remember that? Because as you were 9 years old, it's a funny age, isn't it, for things like that to happen, but it must have had a huge effect on the rest of your life and your mum. And...
Well, to be honest with you, I mean, I wouldn't be here today if my father had lived, to be honest with you. I don't think I'd have been in Sheffield.
Yeah.
So there wouldn't have been 4 kids born and things like that. You know?
Why is that then? What?
Well, my mother remarried.
Right.
My mother remarried and my stepfather was... not many people like this, but he worked for Customs and Excise, so he was a VAT inspector for Lincolnshire.
Someone has to do it.
Very popular man. So they moved down to Caister, just outside of Grimsby.
Okay.
So I went down there to visit them.
Yeah. So you were getting nearer.
The house weren't ready, so they lived at Fitty's Camp.
Right.
In a caravan, so that's where I went to visit them. And I met a lassie from Sheffield.
Okay.
So, and I'd just finished my apprenticeship. They just like laid me off.
Yeah.
So I went back up to Scotland, think what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, I can go to Sheffield.
There's a nice girl there.
Starting my world tour.
Yeah. Well, we're jumping ahead, John. Yeah. We're trying, it's great just to chat on it, but let's go back, take you back to Scotland and let's play your first choice of song. So and explain why you've picked this and what it
is. It goes back to my dad because he liked Mario Lanza and that sort of thing. And it was one of the first records that we bought or that we had in the house. And to be honest, we are quite enjoyed it. Years later, I went to see the great Caruso film in which he starred in.
Yeah.
And he sung it again and it sort of brought back memories of my dad.
Yeah. So this reminds you of your dad. So it's Drink, 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 Mario Lanza. We've got a problem, haven't we? Hold on, John. I'm not sure what's happening there. We have technical issues here, don't we? We've been having a few tonight, grumblings all round. But we'll come back to it in a sec. So let you tell us a bit more about what your... So your mum went back to work as well?
Well, my mum's family originally were West Coast, like Clydebank and round there. And they got blitzed during the war.
Yeah.
So there was not a lot left of Clydebank. So they moved to Falkirk, or they got moved to Falkirk. And my mum and dad ended up living next door to each other.
Right, right.
And that's how they met, across a garden fence.
Right. You got older siblings as well. So how old are they?
Well, they're both dead now. Like I say, my dad was 37 when he got killed, and my mother then was a widow with 5 kids.
Yeah.
So she had to work, to keep us going. So.
And what was she doing, sorry? What kind of job was it?
Well, she was waitress, and then she worked in bar work and that sort of thing. It was the days when women tended not to work, looked after the kids and things like that.
Yeah, very good. Well, we're playing the technical things for your song. I'm just going to play another song and see what we can do that way.
No.
Yeah, okay.
Valentine, hope everything will be fine. When I get home, my baby'll still be mine. I left my baby behind, not even a rose for her Valentine. Believe me, then I will cry. I should get home and buck up on your door. I left my baby behind, not even a rose for her Valentine. Hope everything will be fine. Get home, my baby, still be mine. I'm gonna try one more time to make you mine.
Your mother may be Norwegian. You passed me, you wouldn't say goodnight, feeling you were really white. Your skin may be a little pink, and that's the reason why you think that the complexion of your face can hide you from the Negro race. No, you can never get away from the fact, if you're not white, you consider black. Jut along the thoroughfare, you shake your waist like Fred Astaire, and when you see me passing by, you want
to start and drink your beer in your eyes. Sight, drive, feel, live. You're starring and drink your beer in your drink. Drink, drink, to eyes that are bright as stars when they're shining on me. Drink, 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 to lips that are red and sweet as the fruit on the tree. Here's a hope that those bright eyes will shine lovingly, longingly, soon into mine. May those lips that are red and sweet tonight with joy my own lips meet. Drink, drink, let the toast start. May young hearts never part. Drink, 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 let every true lover salute his sweetheart.
Drink, 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 to hell that will tenderly, trustingly, soon around mine. May those lips that are red and sweet tonight with joy my own lips meet. Drink, drink, let that first part lay young hearts set apart. Drink, let every true lover salute his sweetheart. Let's drink.
Drink, 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 drink. Mario Lanza's choice of my guest tonight, John Johnson.
Yep.
John Johnson from Falkirk, as he said. Yes. Thanks, John. Sorry about the technical difficulties there, but we got there in the end. That was John's choice there. So I think we've got him fixed now, so that's good. So I can imagine that song, so it was one that your dad had bought, was it?
He
bought the record. So I can imagine you singing along to that when you're shouting out, and your dad. I mean, it said, so John, people just join us. John's father passed away when John was just 9 years old. But do you have like good memories of your dad?
Oh, fantastic memories. Got to football. As I say, once upon a time, we went to watch them against Motherwell, 1962 League Cup, in the pouring rain in the back of the Scutum. We lost 9-2.
Yeah, all right. Is that at home? You playing at home? At home or away?
Pardon?
Was it at home or away?
I was away.
I was away to Motherwell.
I had to go away across Calder Crooks and wherever.
Yeah, sorry. Yes, yeah, so you were saying you're a bit deaf, John.
I'm a lot deaf. I've always had ENT problems from being young. It hadn't helped, and my hearing. Working in industry didn't help. Even at school, I struggled. It was difficult.
But you were saying that's good that day. You were glad you were a bit deaf.
Oh, well, it was, because they were chunting all the way home.
Yeah.
In the wind and the rain, I could hear them going on about something.
But losing 9-2, that'll do it, yeah. But no, fond memories of your dad and that time. And what else was it like growing up in that place? So you were just outside Falkirk then, really?
Aye, it's a wee village just outside. As I say, we moved after we got... When he died, and we moved to another village, to the Redden, back to Reilly, where my Johnson family came from. You know, they lived there.
Right.
We had a pit disaster in 1923. My granny was at the pit head when they were trying to rescue the lads. So 40 men and boys got killed in that pit disaster. My granny was part of the village, so...
They're all there.
So it was always there, Always been quite proud of coming from the Reading, you know, it's actually Reading, but it's always called the Reading to the locals, you know.
So you don't want to confuse it with that Southern Reading, do you?
No, nothing to do with dance.
But you were saying it was quite, because it was a little village, but you said it was quite multicultural as well.
It was, because it'd been a pit village, and after the war, we had loads of people like ex-Polish soldiers with Romanians, Yugoslavs, you know. The one of them used to, if he was angry, he'd shout it against Serbo-Croat.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
yeah, and it was really multicultural. And a lot of the Irish, you know. And it was a joy growing up with such people because of the vast difference in the cultures and things like that.
Yeah.
And, of course, I went to school with their offspring, you know, with their sons and daughters. That was interesting.
So, you valued that, I think, don't you? And that's kind of shone through the rest of your life, really, of kind of being that way in terms of welcoming people from all sorts of backgrounds, don't you? The way you feel, which is great.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we are an Irish radio show. So, was it talking of Ireland? Was there much? Have you got any family that are Irish?
My great grandparents, my granny's parents were Irish.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, you know the song, The Orange and the Green?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's a bit like my grandparents.
Yeah.
Because my granny was Catholic. My granddad was on the other side.
That's it. That's it.
And because of the animosity in my granny's family and my grandfather's, his brothers were sort of staunch, sort of Presbyterian, shall we say.
Yeah, there's a lot of them in Scotland, didn't they?
Oh, dear. Even back then, you know.
So we had that mixed marriage and that kind of caused issues back then.
Well, didn't cause issues for in our family, but it caused issues within
the wider family.
My granny's family, the Irish side of the family.
Yeah.
Who could sing? They were beautiful singers.
You sing a lot of Scottish songs, don't you? Like usually on a Monday night, you'll see In the Greats most Mondays, won't we? So anyone wants to take up singing, or you know, it's very welcoming place, isn't it, on a Monday?
It's a lovely evening. Well run by Dennis. You know,
so Dennis is a great Irish fella that's been on the show.
And I sing Irish songs basically because I think it goes back to my socialist background.
Yeah.
And supporting causes, you know.
Yeah.
And I had a mate who lived in Dublin. He was a Kiwi. He was in New Zealand, but he lived in Dublin. I went to Dublin and I fell in love with Dublin.
Yeah.
And then I got to know or understand a lot more about the history and the struggles in Ireland. And I thought that sort of bent me to it. But, of course, these beautiful singers on the other side of the family, you know.
Yeah.
I was impressed, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's it. It's great. I mean, it's great culture, great songs, isn't it? And it's great stories to the songs, and it's hard not to love it, is it? As I've found, and many of us do. So yeah, you've got. Should we play the Irish one you've picked, which was the Furies one?
Which was at that time I'm sort of into the Dubliners and the Chieftains and things. Yeah. Well, I've got a story about the Chieftains as well. We'll play that because. The voice and the man that sings it was incredible.
It's brilliant. So it's When You Were Sweet 16.
From Love Fury.
Yeah.
Light in your eyes, I thought the world held not but joy for me. And even though we've drifted far apart, I never dream but what I dream. I love you as I've never loved before. Since first I saw you on the village green, come to me in my dreams of love alone. I love you as I loved you. When you are sweet, when you are sweet,
90. It's in a lovely when you were sweet 16, the Furies. Fantastic. Thanks for picking that one. So that's well, it's your only Irish choice, isn't it, out of these? But because your life has been so full, and obviously Scotland's a big part of it. But let's get to your kind of teenage years then. What was that like? School okay? Or
well, I left school at 15.
Yeah.
School was okay, but as I say, with the deafness, I struggled because them days, the teachers used to write on the blackboard and talk.
Yeah, so they're back to...
And I couldn't hear what they would...
Yeah.
So I've been told I was intelligent but not educated, which I'd agree with, because I left school at 15 and started work.
Because you're missing lots of it. You don't understand what they're saying, yeah. And then it's hard to catch up, isn't it?
December, Christmas 1968, and started work just after New Year 69 at 15-year-old.
Doing what? What was your job?
Well, my first job was we made bricks. It was called a hammer boy at John G. Steen's Brickworks. Biggest brickwork in Europe at the time.
Yeah.
But we made big bricks. I worked with a lovely man called Wally Carr. He got a pneumatic hammer, so I used to feed it in. We made the bricks and carry them and stuff. Some of them were 100 weight.
You know? Yeah, yeah. Oh, so
big bricks for glassworks and steelworks and things like that. All high alumina, you know.
Yeah.
High bricks.
So how long did you last there?
Well, only about 6 months because I started my apprenticeship as a welder.
Yeah, right.
So I started earlier.
Yeah, proper job. That's good, isn't it? So you got that out.
Yeah, I enjoyed it, you know. And I wanted to be a welder like my dad.
Yeah, yeah.
I enjoyed it. But then I came to Sheffield after that, you know. Thinking that might be a lot of welding jobs.
So did you finish your...
I finished my apprenticeship. Shit.
Where did you do that, the apprenticeship?
I done it at the same place, in the brickworks.
Oh, the brickworks, so they need welders there, So you'd think, actually, Sheffield... Well, yeah, do steel place, engineering, all that, yeah?
Oh, some terrible jobs.
Yeah. But you're saying you met a woman?
When I went down to Humberson 50s to see my family... They were lasses. She come from Wincombe. There were no prospects. The house I was living in, I was sharing it with two taxi drivers.
Yeah.
Who were then starting to Well, they didn't live there. They lived with their wives, so they were using it for extramarital activities.
Okay.
So that one really...
That's part of your education, wasn't it?
Yeah. And eventually one of them got arrested and was charged with manslaughter and ended up going to Peterhead prison for a while. So
yeah.
I was taking a jaunt to bail out.
Yeah, you do want to get out of there, yeah.
So I come to Sheffield, I was 19.
Yeah.
Nowhere to sell. Had £3 in my pocket. Healthy man then.
Okay. And what? So where did you stay? What did you do?
Well, I spent a couple of nights on the streets.
I went to
YMCA. Yeah. That's why I understand being on the streets.
Homelessness.
It's not nice, you know. Yeah. I don't understand why people do it for choice, but they do, you know. And I do understand that. I haven't worked in mental health and that for a long time.
Yeah.
But I still suffer with it, you know. I still wonder why, you know.
Yeah. So, but you've got that, empathy for people that are in that position as well, yeah. So, but you, you eventually must have got a job in Sheffield, but you said some terrible jobs.
Sheffield, I had difficulty understanding the accent.
Well, some people might have a difficulty understanding yours, John.
Well, exactly. Because every time I spoke then, I used to say, "You what?"
Yeah.
I thought it was some sort of response.
Yeah.
Eh? Yeah. You what?
So
that's why I've lost my accent. You know, I've had to slow it down.
That's right. You can tell. It's totally gone, John. Yeah. So what kind of jobs were you doing then? When you first got to Sheffield, welding jobs. Well, that's good, isn't it? It's good.
Some of them were quite good. Some of them were interesting. Some of them were just so boring, you know.
Yeah.
And some of the people I worked for weren't very nice. You know,
yeah.
So. Now, nowadays, you could go along the road for an extra time.
So there was plenty of jobs about back
then.
So was this like the 60s? Are we talking the 70s?
70s. Early 70s. I think, so... That was the year I was 20, so 1973 I arrived in Sheffield.
Yeah.
Which is, when it comes to September this year, it'll be 53 years.
Yeah. But like you said, there was a lot of employment about, and, you know, you could plenty of work for stuff, so it was a good place to be. And did you start, you must have started drinking and going out when you're up in Scotland, did you find pubs in Sheffield?
My drinking started when I was 15.
Yeah.
Because you could get into pubs then. But quite fortunate, in our village, I used to get mistaken for my brother, who's 4 years older. He was 4 years older, so if they thought of my brother, I was all right.
He's all right.
And I came to ship, but to be honest with you, I'm still to this day, I don't like drinking bitter.
It's not a wee heavy.
Yeah, well, I'll be heavy and a half pint.
Yeah.
So that's why I drink the Guinness.
Yes, there's nothing wrong with that. It's good. So, but where did you go drinking? Did you go straight to like Triple Lane, or did you just like Winkerbank places? Or
no, well, town. In Winkerbank, very long. Then we went to live in Woodseats.
Yeah,
I've been in Woodseats for years and years and years. So I used to drink in the Smithwood Club.
Yeah,
because I was about 30 yards up the road from.
Yeah, where he was.
Smithwood Road, yeah.
Let's go to your next song choice. We're going back a bit in your life, aren't we? Well, we'll do the Lindisfarne one and tell us why you picked that.
Well, that was first holiday away with the lads to Kinkilbrays in St Andrews, way up there, on the caravan. We were 16-year-old, the four of us, yeah.
And
I heard it on the radio, you know, like the old little transistor, and it was undulating, whether it was in Luxembourg or something like that. And I really liked the song. And I've seen Lindisfarne probably about 4 or 5 times now.
Since then, I
was really into Lindisfarne at that time. So.
Yeah, good. Well, this is Lady Eleanor, and it's Lindisfarne, and it takes you back to your teenage years.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you.
champagne magician sitting lotus on the floor, belly dancing beauty with their power given soul. Had my share of nightmares, didn't think there could be much more. Then in walked Roderick Usher with the Lady Eleanor. She tied my eyes with the ribbon of a silken ghostly thread. I gazed with troubled vision on an awful poster bed, where Eleanor had risen to kiss the neck below my head and bid me come along with her to the land of the dancing dead. But it's all right, Lady Eleanor. Like a mother to a son, like living, dying, seeing, being all rolled into one. And all at once I heard some music playing in my bones, the same old song I'd heard for years reminding me of home. But it's all right, Lady Eleanor.
Above the rest, screaming, "You're a liar!" But it's all right.
Lady Eleanor, Lindisfarne, that's the choice of my guest. John Johnson from Falkirk. But he's not actually from Falkirk, are you? Just outside.
No, they're Reading, yeah.
They're Reading, that's what we need to say in the future. Oh, it's been great to have you on. We've just got about 20 minutes left to... there's so much of your life we've not spoke about, isn't it? But where we picked up from was that you would come to Sheffield, so you met a girl... where did you meet, actually? Did you meet, you went in...
Humbers and Fitties.
What's that? What's Humbers
it's
and Fitties?
It's a holiday camp. Outside Cleethorpe.
So she was on holiday up there, and you were visiting your mum. You hit it off and you thought, I might as well go to Sheffield. It's got lots of industry. I'm a welder.
I've got £3 in my pocket.
And I know a girl.
As I got from a granny.
Yeah. Oh, good old granny. But then you kind of took to Sheffield, and you're saying you eventually married this girl.
Aye.
But not long after then, I suppose you're saying about a year after. So you were still young, you got married at a young age.
Aye.
You had children and got settled into Sheffield life. Whereabouts did the children grow up in Sheffield? What area?
Woodseats.
In Woodseats. So you moved across from Winkermann to Woodseats back in the 70s, yeah? No. Yeah, yeah.
My kids weren't born until 80s.
In the 80s, So what was Woodseats like back then?
But still, to me, it's still a nice place to live. You know, nice people, majority of them.
Yeah.
Like any place else, but it's a good community feel about it.
I think there is. I don't know Woodseats that well. It's like you drive through it That takes a long time, doesn't it, driving through it?
Chesterfield Road, yeah.
But it seems like it's got everything, like all the shops and pubs, and like, it's, oh, you know, it's busy, isn't it? It's a vibrant place to be.
We used to have three clubs, they haven't got any anymore.
It's sort of working men's club type things, like, not nightclubs.
Oh, no, working men's clubs, the downfall.
And you're still living in wood seats now then? Yeah, so been in wood seats for 30 years?
Well, we moved to Totley, but I didn't like Totley, and then we split up, and then...
Right, okay.
So I moved out, and then met Lisa. As one of my colleagues said, the present Mrs.
The current
Johnson.
Wife. Lisa, so let's... and then you had children with Lisa as well, So how many children have you got altogether?
I've got four altogether. Three are still in Sheffield. Yeah, Katie's my oldest daughter. And then there's Sam, who you know.
Yeah.
And Ellie, who you've seen in the grapes from time to time.
That's right,
So Sam's a teacher now.
And he's saying he's very proud about his Scottish roots. Tell us about that. Yeah.
And he's a poker supporter.
All right, yeah.
Which is just as well, because his other team's very... from Sheffield Six, who are not doing very well.
They're struggling, aren't they? So why do you think Sam in particular is kind of taking on that Scottishness? Or what does he say about feeling Scottish?
Well, when he was challenged about it when he was younger, he did say to the old blokes in the pub, he said, just because you're born in a stable don't make you a horse.
That's right.
And they carried on with a teacher at Meadowhead School. She was a temporary teacher. And he kept speaking in a Scottish accent.
Yeah.
And it went until the last day that he told her he weren't Scottish at all.
Okay. Fair enough. Well, he knew how to do a Scottish accent, didn't he?
Well, he teaches languages, so...
So he's teaching now, isn't he, himself? And he's just got married recently, isn't he?
He did, aye.
Good lad.
I'm quite pleased with the partners that two kids have got. They're quite nice. Katie's decided...
Just quite nice.
She's staying single for now. She's had enough of men for her. But we've got a grandson, Charlie, who's a good lad. And she's doing well, you know, to say that she's had her struggles in the past with work and things like that.
Oh, right, so you've got a grandson,
We've got two grandsons. We see Charlie more often.
How old's Charlie?
You'll be 19 this year.
Wow. So
which is scary, isn't it?
That's a big one, yeah.
You've got a job as a roofer, so that's quite good.
Very good. Let's get through your song choices. So you've gone for Buddy Holly.
Well, this is a guy I met in Grangemouth. I shared a flat with him. He was a taxi driver. He was a Glasgow hard man.
Yeah.
And his name was James McMillan. But he used to be called Jimmy the Butcher. And there was an altercation with a bit of arson going on between the taxi companies. And went to court. And the bloke said, "Your name is Jimmy the Butcher."
Jimmy the Butcher, yeah.
Why the cops? Because they're trying to make out he was some sort of assassin.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean?
I'm called Jimmy the Butcher because that was my trade.
So why does this song remind you of him, does it?
Well, I like Buddy Holly. I remember when my Auntie Anne, when she used to babysit for us, used to put a lot of Buddy Holly and people like that on, you know, the rock and roll era. So it sort of took me back to that, you know. I still like Buddy Holly, you know.
Yeah, that's great, isn't it? So that'll be the day, Buddy Holly.
Well, that'll be the day when you say goodbye, yes, that'll be the day when you make me cry. Well, you know you love me, baby. Still, you tell me maybe that someday will I'll be true. Well, that'll be the day when you say goodbye. Yes, that'll be the day when you make me cry. You say you're gonna leave. You know it's a lie, 'cause that'll be the day when I die. Thank you.
say goodbye. Yes, that'll be the day when you make me cry. You say you're gonna leave, you know it's a lie, cause that'll be the day when I die. Well, when Cupid shot his dart, he shot it at your heart. So if we ever part, then I'll leave you. You sit and hold me and you tell me boldly that someday, well, I'll be through. Well, that'll be the day when you say goodbye. Yes, that'll be the day when you make me cry. You say you're gonna leave, you know it's a lie, cause that'll be the day when I die. Well, that'll be the day. Ooh, ooh, that'll be the day. Ooh, ooh, that'll be the day.
Hey, bit of Buddy Holly. Can't go wrong with that, can we?
No,
lovely.
Go wrong,
good old Buddy. Fantastic, John. So we've got, less than 15 minutes left. But one of the things that's interesting about you, John, is that you had a change of career. So you started as a welder, did your apprenticeship. But then you went to, you're saying you went to work in a, as a mental health nurse, was it?
No, I started working in occupational therapy.
Right.
And my aim was actually to go and study.
Yeah.
Occupational therapy.
So what happened with the welding?
Well, I just got fed up with it.
Yeah.
You know, just and becoming a chore, you know, driving,
yeah,
getting up in the morning to,
yeah, that
to get,
physical
to
work,
get burnt,
yeah,
a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. you're not very good at it.
Actually, I wasn't bad.
No, I'm sure, I'm not joking.
Yeah, yeah. That's something I'm going to say. I'm very good at it.
Yeah, no. I'm sure you was. But so you kind of thought you've had enough of this. So did you retrain as occupational health? How did you get your first? Occupational therapy. Yeah.
No, I didn't. I got a job working with older adults.
Right.
And dementia assessment, which. Quite, because my industrial background,
yeah,
I could speak to a lot of the people about that.
Yeah.
And I was whistling a tune once, and the woman came up to me and said, I used to work in the shirt factory there, and it was,
the town I love so well, yeah.
Yeah. I was whistling the town I love so well.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
She used to work, and that was another breakthrough with... No.
Yeah, when the Irish songs and yeah,
memory
people.
Problems, and she picked up on that straight away. So that was quite nice.
And
then I moved into adult mental health. And it was when I was working adult mental health that this OT student came
yeah.
along.
Caught your eye.
Rather. Well, we used to do groups together, you know, music groups and gardening groups and things like that.
Yeah.
And we became friends. And
yeah.
Eventually, that progressed into something else.
That's it. So that's Lisa, your wife, of today, and she'll often sing in the grapes as well. And she's a beautiful voice, and it's great to see. So that you and Lisa have been together how many years now? Then
be 30 odd now.
30 odd years, yeah.
Well, sums, that'll be nearly 32. I'm not very good at the sums, you know.
Yeah,
I'm a man.
That's how we say. Oh, no, that's lovely. That's lasted well, isn't it? That friendship of meeting on at work.
She's still my best friend, to be honest.
You can see that. You're a lovely couple together.
Yeah.
And, let's play. We're going to go back to your status quo choice. Just tell us why you picked that one. Is that back from your teenage years?
It was like starting, going to the discotheque and things like that. It used to be a little discotheque, a village called Pullman, just along the road. And it was only a pokey wee place. But a lot of people from our school and surrounding me, no, youngsters, and it was all right. And down the dust pipe was sort of, status quo didn't like it. I don't think the pans liked it, but it sort of appealed to me with the
it's not unfamiliar to me, this one, so I don't know how, but... It'll be a surprise for me as to what it's like. Is it like typical status quo or?
Well, when you hear it, you can.
Well, let's find out together, eh? Shall we? So it's down the dust pipe, status quo.
Right.
There you go. Down the Dust Pipe. Yeah, I know that song, innit? It says we've got old Rocky, bluesy kind of
status quo.
Wonderful. So you'd be down the disco, probably underage again.
No, it was a proper sort of church hall type disco. Alcohol.
I know alcohol. Oh, I
no,
see.
No,
I
plenty
see.
Plenty fighting in that, but no alcohol. Yeah.
Right. That's Scotch fighting, yeah. Very good.
All Saturday night, isn't it?
So we're talking about before that. So it's Deserted Island Dish you're listening to. And every Wednesday, 7 till 8, we have a different guest on that talks about their life. And it's usually people from Ireland. We are looking for people who have got an affinity or a connection with Ireland to come on the show in future weeks. Next week's guest, I promise you, is a man from Belfast. But we need more guests for the future. So if you want to get in touch with the show, it's desertedislanddis@gmail.com. So it's desertedisland, spelled like the country of Ireland, and dis@gmail.com. So please get in touch so we can have some more guests. But we've been lucky enough to have John from Scotland, who's been living in Sheffield
53 years nearly. Yeah.
53 years, wow, longer
Don't
than most.
Like a local now.
Exactly, yeah. Not lost his accent one bit, have you? We've got a few minutes left, John. But really, I suppose it's kind of talking about, you know, I mean, most of your career then was working in mental health, yeah.
Once I left sort of working with older adults, I went into acute mental health and I enjoyed it a lot, like working with people and trying to help them overcome their problems.
Yeah.
It wasn't always easy, you know, sometimes it's quite traumatic.
Yeah, of course.
But I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
But the bit I enjoyed most was towards the end of my career. I spent a long time in recovery, helping people get their life back after the acute phase and the mental health.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that, you know.
So you'd see them kind of go to success and recover and get back in the community,
yeah.
So did you work in the community, going out to their homes and stuff, was it?
Well, sometimes, but Moncrieff Road was a place where we used to run some therapeutic groups.
Okay.
But I like to get people out and about, so I've done a lot of walking groups.
Oh, nice, yeah.
I even led the walk around Sheffield for World Mental Health Day 1 year.
Yeah, very good, yeah.
And I got a lot out of that.
Yeah, yeah.
And I had a phone call once from somebody who I worked with. I used to play football with him, and they got my number off a lad who played football with, and he phoned up to say thank you for helping me, because he was smoking dope and that.
Yeah.
And I tell him, well, not. That alters your way of thinking.
Yeah, it's not good for the mind, is it?
And I was quite candid. I mean, I've been told before that I'm quite forthright.
Yeah.
You've got to say how it is, isn't it? Yeah. And anyway, he stopped smoking the dope. He got his life back together. He was married. He got two kids. And he said, no, thank you very much. And I think, well, you know, you done it.
Yeah.
I just hopefully pointed you in the right direction.
No, it's lovely when things like that happen.
Yeah.
So time's beating us, John. We've got time for your last song, which I really like. So just introduce the what it's about, and I think everyone will enjoy it.
It's a song that was written by a fellow, Falkirk Folk Club, and Brogale, who got to sing it, great band from Falkirk. The guy worked behind the bar, and he asked them if he could use it. So they recorded it, and as I say, it goes on from there. If you ever get the chance to go and see Brogale, go and see them.
Yeah, they sound great. No, it's fantastic. Yeah. So thanks so much, John. It's been a joy and a pleasure. And we'll just enjoy this song, everyone. It's a great choice from John.
Thank you very much.
Falkirk bairn, you'll need not know my name. I've travelled all around the world, but no home can I claim. Of all the places I have been, there's none I would compare with dear old Carron Waterside and my friends and loved ones there. I've sailed across the Hudson wide, the Thames, the Seine, the Rhine. And though they are all wonderful, there's none that is so fine as the beautiful Carron water that flows so wild and free from Falkirk to Grangemouth town and beyond to the North Sea. When I am done with rambling, never more to roam, I'll settle by Carron waterside and there I'll build my home. I'll tell my songs and stories there and view the golden vale and happily live out my days where nature's ways prevail. And the love.